You're listening to Sound Poetry. I am your host, David Gilmore. This is the second part of Risa Denenberg's Headmistress Press and the Poets that are being published in chapbooks. This is Sound Poetry. I'm your host, David Gilmore, and we will now present some new poets from the Headmistress Press. Go ahead, Risa, it's all yours.
Hi, and welcome back. You're going to hear some more poets from Headmistress Press. Headmistress Press has poetry that is published, books of poetry by lesbians, also by bisexual women, by trans women. And we've been publishing books since 2013. Some of our readers are here with us today. Four readers read for us at our last segment. And we're going to start today with Jen Rouse. Jen holds an MFA from American University. She lives with her wife and 15-year-old daughter in Iowa City and directs the Center for Teaching and Learning at Cornell College. Her poems have appeared in Poetry, Cleaver, Always Crashing, The Mississippi Review, and elsewhere. Headmistress Press has published three of her books, Acid and Tender, Cake, and Writing with Anne Sexton. Jen, where are you now, and what do you see when you look out your window?
Well, it's a good evening here, and thank you for having me. I am in Coralville, Iowa tonight, and it's a little Hitchcockian, quite frankly, when I look out my window. It's, I'm kind of looking at some folks eating dinner, hanging out in their houses across the way. It's pure suburbia. I'm going to start tonight with some poems from my book, Acid and Tender, and this is a book that is a little bit about my huge crush on Frida Kahlo, but a lot more about the life of the creative, and I think the creative mind. So this is the title poem, Acid and Tender. You stand on pedestals upstage, hovering in shadow. You wait for me to pull you into the light. Don't you know? I want you to choose the self you want me to see. One of you is in a suit too large and suspended and silly, your grin. One of you is all thorns and stoicism, not a breath of air between us. And one of you is shedding all your organs, trading for wings. Scalpel and spine, you pull your rib cage apart. You feed me small bits of your petrified heart. I will never know who we were supposed to be. This is called Love's Anatomy. Here is the window, your breath and back against, my hand on the glass and longing, tethered, tethered. There was nothing surreal in our self-portrait of stars. Fallen, flooded, and spilled, this womb through all our fingers. I tried so hard to catch you, stitched and severed, but when I opened my mouth to scream, only my heart flew out. A child's balloon, a lost umbilicus. I will have to walk out of here alone. I will have to change my name. Once more, I will have to love something that I will lose. Tell me again the story of why we are here. Tell me again the story of hummingbirds and thorns. And one more from Acid and Tender. This poem is called In the House of Birds, kind of in the middle of a little psychotic episode. I created a persona that I named Hummingbird Girl, and she appears in a lot of the poems in this book. And this is one of the first ones where she makes an appearance. In the house of birds, walls quiver with wings. Her nervous fingers flutter at her ruby throat. And every room has a pedestaled bath where delicate finches dip tiny beaks while regal hawks hang from birch chandeliers. Why am I here? She wonders again. Her hollow womb, her spindly ankles. Oh, yes, of course, her head. Hummingbird, they said, when she told them she craved nectar and couldn't sit still. Sanctuary, they said, when she stopped sleeping and plucked the feathers from her crown. It wasn't this she expected to be. Not all birds sing here, she noted. Some spend all day constructing meticulous nests, others plumping elaborate plumage. Multiple personalities, hummed the pigeon as he hopped upon her bed. Rest, she whispered, but her legs never touched down. And I'm going to close with a poem from Cake. And it, oddly enough, is probably the only poem in this book that doesn't actually have Cake in it, which, you know, I'm sorry about that, but it is one of my favorites. So this is called Remedy. Once there was a clementine when I couldn't speak, and a late afternoon on the steps in the sun, when all I could do was think about your hands so close to my hands, and sometimes your voice when no other voice mattered. Some days we told stories in sand, and each granule was a day I might put next to another day, until it didn't feel so much like trying. Now every day feels so much like trying. When we first met, you said, why not get well? And I believed you, and then I didn't. I woke up in the back of a car, curled like a nautilus, the sound of the sea ricocheting inside my skull. But I was not an ocean. I woke up in a cornfield and the stars pleaded my defense, but I was not a constellation or a wanted galaxy. I woke up in a hotel room drenched from days of pulled blinds and constant doses I forgot to name as my own name slipped away. I woke up and tried to go home, but I wasn't available and neither was home. I woke up and heard you say that I couldn't possibly matter enough. And I remembered then how important it would always be to remain quiet. I woke up and wrote every lie I had ever been told about God and hope and the love of someone coming to sit next to you when you couldn't be more alone. I woke up and walked away because no one holds your hair back when you are fresh out of brilliance, because there is no well, only different. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. Thanks for reading those wonderful poems. If you want to buy any of our books, by the way, you can go to our website and you can take a look around and you can be directed to our store. Our website is at Headmistress Press, all one word, at blogspot.com. So check them out. Our next reader is Catherine Fallon. Catherine attended Bryn Mawr and Sarah Lawrence colleges and is the author of The Toothmaker's Daughters, Finishing Line Press 2018. Her work has appeared in Agni, Colorado Review, Juked, Meridian, Passages North, Foundry, and Best New Poets 2019, among others. She teaches at Georgia Southern University, is the poetry editor at May Day Magazine, and is a reader at Pank. She lives above the Nat Line in South Georgia with her favorite human, who helps her zip her dresses. Her chapbook, Demoted Planet, was a finalist for the Charlotte Mew Prize and will be published by Headmistress Press in January of 2021. So, where are you, and what do you see when you look out your window?
I am in South Georgia, and I see a whole lot of nothing because it's dark, but I am so thrilled to think about all of the people out there in the dark who voted the right way, so I am really, really proud of my state right now. Okay, so I'm going to start with a poem called Joni Lamb. for the inmates of the Broad River Men's Correctional Facility. Okay, Joni Lamb, for the inmates of the Broad River Men's Correctional Facility. I accepted your collect phone calls, thinking my parents must know you. I figured if Joni had killed a man with a steak knife in her very own kitchen, and my parents still hired her, they might know all kinds of inmates. The way she told it, smoking a cool cigarette, clad in acid wash, hair dyed so black it looked blue at the roots, she was cutting tomatoes when he forced his way in, so she sliced a doorframe into him and slipped right through. When she ran away from the halfway house, police showed up at our door and demanded to know what we knew, which wasn't much. The bottles of sour mash whiskey they found in our cabinets surprised my parents too. But boys, men, I thought surely they had come to get the letters I promised when you called and asked me to write, lonely like microphone feedback from each and every one of you. I liked the idea that I could make it go away with words, but ultimately they would find nothing because I never wrote. You have to understand, she was a woman. I knew her crime. Paul, Waffle House. He was momentarily present. He was also a he, and I flouted the rawness of kissing him hard as punishment in the sterile fluorescence of the filthy diner. That burn stood in for other lower burns and was grief as well as privilege. His back pocket home to my hand precisely because it was allowed and was a way to touch without having to touch. Our bodies crackled with static we had no reason to resist, and so I saw briefly how it looks when the world expects you. A door flung open to a room full of strangers who won't be strangers long. And there is so much light, so much of it. And this is from the chapbook coming out in January through Headmistress Press. This poem is called Dark Side of the Moon. Everyone could see your Pink Floyd t-shirt, but not what we nestled below the half-shut lid without the undertaker's knowing. Full ounce of quality weed and a teddy bear so loved the stuffing had dissolved, leaving a floppy pilled exoskeleton behind. Your skin, however it could, looked like skin. Eyes glued shut, I'm sure, but it looked more like sleep than... I had waited you out until you expired as you were meant to, and I wept as I was meant to. Days passed, and I understood grief to be a room I'd entered with provisions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Catherine. Those are lovely poems. They're sad and lovely, and we enjoyed hearing them. Our next reader is Laura Foley. Laura is the author of 7 poetry collections, 3 of them with Headmistress Press. Her third publication with Headmistress, Why I Never Finished My Dissertation, received a starred Kirkus review, was among their top poetry books of 2019, and won an Eric Hoffer Award. Her collection, It's This, is forthcoming from Salmon Press. Her poems have won numerous awards and national recognition. They've been read frequently by Garrison Keillor on the Writer's Almanac, and have appeared in Ted Kooser's American Life and Poetry. Laura lives with her wife, Clara Jimenez, among the hills of Vermont. And Laura, I guess you're in Vermont and it's dark, so I don't know what you see out your window, but I know you live in a beautiful space.
Thank you. Yes, normally we can see endless trees and hills. I'm going to read all poems from Why I Never Finished My Dissertation. The first one is Remembering the Women's March. It'll be 4 years ago, and Clara and I went down to Boston for that. This is called After. After our 3-hour bus ride to the city, our 7 hours marching in a crowd of 200,000, after waving our signs, queer grannies against Trump, till our arms ache from repetitive motions, wait. After our sumptuous dinner with wine to celebrate our day of resistance, we attend a 3-hour play. Articulate screaming, lewd gestures and sex. an excess of passion we grannies achieve through osmosis as we sleep in front row seats. Gratitude list. Praise be this morning for sleeping late, the sandy sheets, the ocean air, the midnight storm that blew its waters in. Praise be the morning swim mid-tide, the clear sands underneath our feet, the dogs who leap into the waves, their fur sticky with salt, the ball we throw again and again. Praise be the green tea with honey, the bread we dip in finest olive oil, the eggs we fry. Praise be the reeds, gold and pink in the summer light, the sand between our toes, our swimsuits flapping in the breeze. So feeling a lot of gratitude today. Hindsight. So I grew up in New York City. I married my first husband to escape a privileged white life, to see what it would be like to be a Muslim wife, scarf haloing my face, to be needed as he needed a green card, because he was a hunchback and had few friends, and I was 19 and he was 30, so I could be different from the usual Upper East Side girl, because the difference in marrying him held less terror than sharing a kiss with a girl I liked from New Orleans. So, of course, that was many decades ago. This poem is called What Stillness? Lily pads ripple in summer breeze as if they bloomed for me. Revelation white clouds float through a divine blue sky. No human voices break the stillness of this hilltop pond, where I come to forget the foolishness of Homo sapiens, where a trout leaps from the lake, splashes shining down, opening a glimpse into the world below the surface. My dog, wet from her swim between the visible and hidden, shakes dots of sparkling light from her dark coat, forming a watery aura. What sunlight does to water, stillness does to us. Wonderful poets. I'm just very thrilled with Headmistress Press, and what wonderful press. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Long before marriage.
Yes.
We have one more reader today. I'm very pleased that she can be with us. Her name is Virginia Patrici. Virginia is a writer and an artist from Ojai, California, and a former columnist for the LA Poet Examiner. Her poetry, fiction, and nonfiction works have appeared in numerous literary journals and anthologies, including Another Chicago Magazine, Mom Egg Review, and Best New Writing 2014. Her debut chapbook, Recipes and How-To's, was released through Red Flag Poetry in 2017. The Salt and the Song was published in 2018 by Headmistress Press. She is currently finishing her first novel. Where are you? And what do you see when you look out your window, if anything?
I'm at home in Ojai, California, and out my window, it's very windy, very gusty, so I'm seeing a lot of branches flailing their limbs at my window, but it's very beautiful. I'm first going to read two poems from my headmistress chapbook, The Salt and the Song. This is A Colony of She's. A moon like a proudly shunned sister sits throned by the cold black with bright dead stars as her guards. an air that is not the night herself, but doubles after day, so secrets may be seen as frosty breath, rises just above the sea. A wave as distinct from the still ocean as a daughter from a mother. A reckoning of water's new purpose under the allure of the moon. A sand, an almost helper and a billion infants of time, arriving and loosening at the will of the moon and the air and the waves, and my feet, two moving vessels, finally still on the shore, finally sure of the she they share with the matron sea. This is Daughter, also from The Salt and the Song. I feel my stomach is stretched over a captive moon, yet I diffuse no lunar glow, only the pale black of the night as I push my wonders against the wind over the sea. Are you the reason why pink achieves against me? Are you bent in the long, favored in the ever? Are you the freshest of mystery but the closest of heart? Are you a stretched and simple palette of my own complexity? Are you an honor against the grain of dreams, widowed by ambition? Are you made in a chamber that churns with hope and maybe, maybe something else, something a who, someone a how, some fit of fancy of biology and female time? I feel you push back from within, and my thoughts, like worried guards, sail back to me. These next two are new poems. This is O Ruined Rebel. O Ruined Rebel, ghosting starwise while they sleep amongst themselves. O self of many shelves and drawered anatomy. Spooky fat lies in ribbons against your thighs. An entirely new woman, almost as though the birthing of one doubles the other. I'm glad you ate the castle. My God, I'm grieved you couldn't finish. This last poem is Familial Flame. I sway the juicing baby that's marked him, the small stuffed of, not same, like a flood distinct from river's flow. Behind his unburned back lies a horizon inured to flame. The fire lights from two blinks like fervent sticks he claims he's never seen. His fire strikes like a harried, unruly contagion, charring his before and graying out his green. And when he sparks, it's like dead grass ablaze. I offer a fledgling hedge against his crisping rage for the infant lined by fire but locked in shade. Her mama combs and croons while she tongues her mother earth and howls in root the same. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Virginia. Thank you. Our four readers, thank all four of you, Jen, Catherine, Laura, Virginia. And I'm Risa Denenberg with Headmistress Press, and I just want to remind you that you can contact us at our website, which is Headmistress Press, all one word, at blogspot.com. And I'd like to thank David for asking us to read and having so much enjoyment and pleasure at poetry and the poetry of the women that we've presented here. It's just a real pleasure to be able to present poetry of our poets and wonderful poets they all are. And thank you, Stephen, for your wonderful work at audio and making this happen. So thank you, everyone.
Yes, thank you. You have been listening to Sound Poetry, and you've heard a variety of very fine verse this afternoon from Risa Denenberg's Headmistress Press and the poets. Wonderful, wonderful work, all of you. Very good. Thank you for joining us today on Sound Poetry on Radio Tacoma. We hope that you'll enjoy listening to your recordings in a short time. Thanks a lot for coming and spending the time with us.